listening to the CCA Podcast.
One of the great privileges of my life has been to be able to work with Pastor Charles, to come into this setting as a pastor and to work alongside of the man who was my pastor is, sorry, you guys know I'm just built close to the water, and that's one of my weaknesses. But the privilege of working alongside of Pastor Charles and Ruth is really amazing. I think you probably get a little bit of a feeling of it, but you know, to have a person pastor and shepherd a congregation and then be able to surrender that burden or that mantle of leadership to someone else and to do it with such grace is not usual. And Pastor Charles is a tremendous gift to our congregation. And so I couldn't think of a better person who would be prepared and able to address the issue of healing out of the long perspective of years of ministry. And so, Pastor Charles, come and share the Word of God with us, and we're so thankful for your ministry.
Thanks, bless you. Pastor Steve. Thanks, Pastor Steve. It is a unique relationship, and I'm honored that you would entrust the pulpit to an old pastor. A few of you might have been here when Pastor Steve graduated from Northwest University, and he was working with the youth, and then the Lord led things together, so he became the pastor of Calvary Chapel, which is a church we planted down in the U District. And I remember Pastor Steve coming in on his motorcycle, long hair and an helmet, and come roaring in there. His office was down next to mine. And then, of course, as you know, God used him in the ministry of Calvary Chapel, and then the ministry all those years over in Germany. And the church that he planted is now ministering to many of those immigrants, Muslims, who are coming to the Lord with this great immigration influx into Germany. So, and then to come back here to retire, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, here, I was over him, and now he's over me. He is the pastor. He's the leader, and I'm one of the sheep. Well, thank you for your ministry and the privilege. And thank you, Pete Ashmore and the choir. And that was really good. I asked Pete one time, Pete, can you put the words up on the screen? So, because many of you know I have a hearing problem. And he was so gracious and accommodating me and has the words up on there so I can enjoy the fullness of that choir music. I appreciate that. And of course, Pastor Tim has the words up there too. So it's an interesting time. I was looking forward to hearing Jack Wisemore, but I'm his substitute this morning. I'm a substitute. And that reminds me of a little story about a preacher that came as a substitute in the church one Sunday. And many of you know that glass windows are often called window panes. Well, it so happened that a window pane was broken, And the farmer, he put in a little cardboard piece in the to take until he could go to the town and get some glass for that window pane. And so it was a piece of cardboard, and you maybe have done the same thing, use a piece of plywood in there until you can get the real glass. Well, after the preacher got through, and he said, I'm a substitute today, told about how people use paper or plastic or plywood as a substitute. He said, I'm a substitute today. Well, after the service, a man came up to him and said, Reverend, you're no substitute. You're a real pain. Well, yeah, you're a real pain. I hope I can be a P-A-N-E, not a P-A-I-N this morning. Pastor Steve asked me to address the subject of healing, and it's a big subject. It's one of the great doctrines of the Bible. In fact, many of you know that divine healing is one of the four cardinal doctrines and beliefs of the Assemblies of God and our church. And if you ever go into the chapel, those four windows in there have the cardinal doctrines: salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and the second coming. So this is one of the cardinal doctrines of our church. Now, this is a major subject. It kind of reminds me of the fellow who asked the pastor, what are you going to preach on today? He says, I'm going to preach on God, the universe, and the whole Bible. How are you going to do that? Well, it's a major subject, and there are so many, many aspects to this, and it's really difficult to make a full treatment of divine healing in one sermon. And as I contemplated this, waited on the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Charles, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Emphasize one point out of all the healing doctrine. And that one point is wholeness. It's God's will for you. A lot of people say, if it's God's will, keep in mind that wholeness, healing wholeness, is God's will for you. In other words, God is a healing God, and it's part of God's nature to heal. His salvation, it is His will to make us whole, body, soul, mind, and spirit. So healing is for our soul. Healing, and many of you may need healing in your soul, healing in your mind, in your thought life, and it could be in the area of depression. You need healing in your emotions. You need healing in your personality. And of course, we need healing in our physical bodies. I think we need to just ask God's help. Because the Lord said to me last night and this morning, now remember, it's not you, it's me. I'm the one that's going to give this healing. I'm the one that's going to share the word. Let's pray. Father, I commit this service to you now, and this sermon and this teaching and your blessing. Open our minds to receive it, our hearts to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been waiting. You know, it's not just to preach a sermon, but what happens as a result of that sermon. Here's how God is leading me in this service. And as I waited on the Lord, this is how the Lord directed me in my mind. After the message, we're going to have a healing line. to minister the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil. The deacons and ministers and those who are going to are leaders in the church, they're going to line up and form a column, just like when the Huskies go into their game, the alumni on both sides, and they walk through the middle. Well, that's what we want, people that want to receive divine healing and the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil to come through that. And Pastor Steve and I will stand in the front, and we will anoint you with oil, and then you may either kneel or you can go to your seat. So begin to prepare your heart if you are in a place where you feel like you would like to have the anointing with oil. Prepare yourself during the message. It doesn't just happen suddenly down there. It takes preparation of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. So, now, I didn't really have time to develop an outline, so you don't have any notes in your bulletin, and I didn't even have anything to give to the men up in the controls so that you'd have something on your screen. So you're going to have to listen and take your Bibles, but you might want to take a piece of paper out, and when I give a scripture, just jot down the reference of the scripture, and you can look at it later. I have a text. And this text comes out of Exodus 15, 26, when Israel left the land of bondage, the land of disease, the land of slavery, and they came into a place in the desert. And they needed clean water. And the waters were bitter. Sickness is a bitter thing. And they couldn't drink the water. And God directed Moses to throw a branch into the water. God uses branches. In an interesting way, God uses branches. It may be a branch from a tree like that. It may be a branch in the hospital, one of the wings, a branch. It may be a branch of medicine, a branch of prayer, like we're going to do that. He uses a variety of ways. And in this case, God directed him to throw the branch in, and the waters were healed, and they could drink of the waters. Marvelous thing. And out of that story, Exodus 15, 26 says, I brought you out of Egypt, all of those diseases, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now that's the text. I am the Lord who heals you. It's really, in the original Hebrew language, it's one of the compound names of the Lord. Lord, in the Hebrew, Lord would be Jehovah, and the word healing is Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, the healing God. Healing. The word Rapha, Hebrew word, means to restore, to cure, to heal, not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. That's the ultimate healing. And the moral sense. So salvation is basically to restore. Salvation that you've experienced is to be restored. Now, you've all seen the words Jesus saves. That used to be more popular used in years gone by, but Jesus saves. In the old Hollywood temple that used to sit where the freeway is now, on the top of the roof was a big sign in blue letters that said, or red letters, whatever, neon, that said, Jesus saves. How many old-timers remember that? Well, a few of you remember, Jesus saves. And it shouted out across Green Lake and over to the Greenwood District, Jesus saves. Well, Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, which literally means he took our sicknesses on himself. He took our sins upon himself, and he was smitten of God and wounded and bruised in the stripes. And Isaiah said in prophetic words, he was wounded, and by his stripes we are healed. The Apostle Peter says the same thing over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It talks about the Lord's healing presence, and he says, by his stripes you have been healed. He was quoting Isaiah. So all through your Bible, you have an illustration of God's will is for you to be whole. Now this sign, what does it really mean? Jesus saves. How does it affect my life? Well, Jesus saves us from our personal sin. We are all born sinners. And by nature, we're in sin. Our sin nature, which results in actions and thoughts of sin. You can't help that. That's who you are. You're a sinner by nature, born that way, and you act that way. You may hide it with good manners, but you still are a sinner. So Jesus died on the cross to save us, not just from our actions of sin, but the very nature of sin. So that's why we use the word born again, born of the Spirit, not just having a religious experience, but born of the Spirit in the inner man. And that's really what Jesus saves means. But Jesus saves us from the effects of original sin in the Garden of Eden, and we call it the fall. Man fell away from God's creation as an innocent human being, and no longer was he innocent. He became a sinful, rebellious person against God, and sin entered the human race. Just like all of us, we have entered the human race, and we've inherited a sin nature. So when it says Jesus saves, it means he saves us from that old nature and gives us a new nature. Jesus saves us from the effects of the original sin. And if Jesus comes to save and heal, what is it that he saves and heals us from? Does he just save our souls? Some people say, well, he doesn't care about our bodies. That's just temporary. He saves our souls. Well, yes, for sure, he came to save our souls. Is God interested only in the spirit and not in your body and your mind? No. Scripture points that out. He's not just interested in your soul. He's interested in your body. Is God's will ordinarily sickness, or is it health and wholeness? I believe it's health and wholeness. That's God's whole will for you and for me. Now, your view of God and of Jesus Christ will affect healing in your body, mind, and spirit. Your concept of God's will and your concept of the way God works, this whole concept, I am the Lord that healeth you, that will affect your attitude towards healing, and it'll affect your faith. And when you come through the line to receive divine healing, your attitude must be, it's God's will for me to be whole. Again and again, Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. That means according to how you have believed in your mind, I choose to believe. Doubts will come up. The what ifs, or maybe, or this or that. But I choose to believe. The concept about sickness and healing are vitally important, and that's why we need to read the Bible and get Christ's view of divine healing. Now, the mission statement of Jesus, and he quotes it from Isaiah, is in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And you know, Holy Spirit emphasizes that to me this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. And certainly sickness and disease is a prisoner. I mean, is one who imprisons you. You are a prisoner of sickness and disease. And the recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed. And sickness can oppress you. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which means really the year, the time of God's plan for you to be whole. Wholeness is my plan for you. And that's Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us a picture of Jesus. What do you see when you see Jesus in action? And let me just say, that's why it's so important to read your Bible. So important to let the Scriptures impact the way you think. So important to see how Jesus acted. Every time Jesus met with evil, whether it's spirit or physical, he treated it as an enemy. Sickness is an enemy. Luke 13 tells about how Jesus healed the person who had been, for 18 years, a woman was in bondage. And Luke 13, verses 10 through 13 and verse 16 says, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound these 18 years be loosed? Now that's a picture of Jesus. That's his attitude towards sickness, towards disease, towards physical ailment like she had. And he loosed her, and she was free, no longer bound by Satan. He approached this as Satan's work. He came to save human beings, and human beings have a body, human beings have a soul, human beings have a spirit. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason Son of God came into the world was to destroy the work of the devil. Sickness is a work of the devil. Disease is a work of the devil. That's why I'm saying it's your view of Jesus and your view of God and the Word of God will affect how you believe. Time does not allow turning to these various scriptures and reading them, but here's a short list, and I will not take time to read them because that would take us too long. Luke chapter 7, verse 22 and 3, when John the Baptist sent messengers to check out Jesus to see if he was the real Messiah, he said, just stick around and observe what I'm going to do. And in that moment, he began to heal, to deliver, to set demons free. I mean, people free from demons. Jesus said, now go back to John the Baptist and tell him what things you've seen. What he has saw was signs and wonders and healings. It was God's will. That's who I am, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 9, Verse 1, the paralytic that was brought to Jesus by his friends and let down through the roof. A paralytic, paralyzed, and his friends brought him on a stretcher. And Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven, and you are healed in your body. Rise up and walk. And the man rose up in that instant and healed. That shows that Jesus has authority, and it shows Jesus in action. In Matthew chapter 8 and 9, there are 10 miracles showing Jesus' power of disease, nature, and the spirit world. Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus delegated his power and authority to his disciples and sent them out to heal. Go out, he said to the disciples. Heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the good news. And they returned with a report on the results, and they were all amazed and happy. And they reported of healings, people delivered from evil spirits, and much more. I want you to get the picture in the Bible of God's plan for wholeness and healing and the gospel and the good news that God delivers people from sin and the effects of sin. He delivers people from the work of Satan and disease and all of that. Matthew 28, the great commission to the church and to all believers is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, in the authority. It's not me, it's up to him. He's the healer. In the book of Acts, you go through the gospel and you run into the book of Acts, and which is the story of the acts of the Holy Spirit as he works through the apostles. Peter and John heal the lame man at the gate beautiful, chapter 3, verse 1. Get the picture now. What is the Bible speaking about? It's his plan, people be healed. Peter's shadow comes down the street and people brought their friends and loved ones and laid them in the street so that the shadow of Peter would follow them and fall upon them, and they were cured. They were cured, and those that were tormented by evil spirits were delivered, and they were healed. Chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 of the book of Acts. Then, later on in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, verse 32, 3 and 4, Peter says to Aeneas, and he was another paralytic. 8 years he had been paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and walk. And the man leaped up and walked, and he shouted, and he ran into the temple, praising God. In the 9th chapter, verse 36 through 42, Peter is called to pray for Dorcas, one of the women in the church that was such a, like a deaconess, such a wonderful woman, and she died. And the people were all crying, and they went and got Peter. And Peter went into the room, laid his hands upon Dorcas, and she arose from the dead. God's work for her was not finished. She needed to be to live a little longer. Then you come to the 14th chapter of Acts. Paul cures a man in the country of Lystra who was lame from birth. Lame from birth. And God healed him through the prayers of the Apostle Paul. Then there was the instance in Acts chapter 19, Paul's handkerchiefs, which were really just like cloths. And these cloths were laid on the sick, or they touched them, and the people were cured. Acts chapter 19. Then in Acts chapter 20, the boy fell out of the balcony and died. And they came, Paul took him by the hand and embraced him, and he was resurrected and he came to life again. And the people were overjoyed. Then there's Acts chapter 28. Paul cures the father of the country's official, Publius, who the father was in bed with a fever and dysentery. And chapter 28, verse 7, Paul cured him of that fever and dysentery. Paul ministers healing to many on the island after that. And chapter 28, verse 9. So what we are finding then, folks, is that healing was clearly part of the work of Jesus on earth. And when he ascended, he lifted up to the church. And you and I are the church, 21st century, but that's with God, time doesn't mean anything. And we have been appointed and commissioned to preach the good news. And the good news is that Jesus saves and Jesus heals. The work of the early church. In Psalm 103, verse 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits, who forgives your sins and who heals your diseases. I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 8 again. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, the man with leprosy. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, because the man said, I know. In fact, Matthew 8, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Jesus. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, now catch this. He says the same thing that you say. If you are willing, you can make me clean. What did Jesus answer? He reached out his hand, touched him, and said, I am willing. Be clean. Then you come down to the fifth verse of chapter 8 of Matthew. He entered Capernaum. He found a centurion. And he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed in terrible suffering. And Jesus said, I will go and heal him. And the centurion replied, you don't need to come. Just speak the word. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished at his faith. And he spoke the word and he said to the centurion, go, it will be done as you have believed. Your concept of Jesus, your concept of his will, your concept of his willingness, his love. I will come and heal him. You don't need to come. Just speak the word. He sent his word and healed them, the scripture says. Then you have the eighth chapter of Matthew again. And verse 14, you have where he heals many. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And he drove out the spirits with his word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases. Dear friends, this is a picture of God. He is a healing God. His name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. And let this soak into your mind. And the word heals is an ongoing word. When I was out for a walk one day in Edmonds, I was meditating on that verse, I am the Lord that healeth you. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's ongoing. Which means, I am the Lord that keeps you well. Let me repeat that. If you are well today, if you are healthy, just remember it's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that keeps you healthy. I am the Lord that keeps you well. Let that soak into your mind and soul, and I mean soak. Get immersed in the Word, in His thoughts. Wholeness is God's will for you. Wholeness is God's will. Acts 10:38, when Peter gave a summary sketch of Jesus' life, he said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When we pray in the name of Jesus. That's how we're going to pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Keep us in mind. I get this again from Acts 10:38. We're going to do good this morning. Healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed him, and God was with him. God anoints Pastor Steve and me and the other brothers and sisters, and they are oppressed by the devil, but God has anointed us to bring the good news, the gospel healing. There's so much more to this subject of healing. In fact, as I was studying it, I thought, man, I think I'll make it a series in our Bible class on Sunday mornings, because there's enough in here for me to go for about 6 weeks. 8 weeks, maybe. I don't know. There's so much. I know there are the what-ifs, and maybe, and this and that, where none of us are here to live forever right here in these bodies. These bodies are going to decay, and they're going to give up. But they're going to be resurrected, because God plans to use your body in the coming world, a glorified body. But right now, we're going to be ministering. And before we do, I want to give two testimonies. Now, many of you have heard me refer to when I was pastor in Dayton, Ohio, and there was a young man in his early 30s. He was a husband, a father of a couple of children, and he got appendicitis. And as any of you have experienced appendicitis, you know it's terribly painful, and then suddenly you feel relieved. Well, when you're relieved, actually, the appendicitis bursts. And then what happens is, what's the word, peritonitis or something like that? Anyway, it's infection inside, deadly infection, and it'll kill most people. Thank God for the modern medicines that they have in the hospitals, and it saves many lives. Didn't I say that God uses a branch of the hospital and a branch of medicine? And that's why many people who have experienced burst appendix survive. But in this case, Luther was in the ICU ward, and they called the pastor to come and pray for him. Well, what do you do when you go in there and you know it's going to happen, and he's in the dying situation right now. He's almost unconscious, and they're doing what they can. He's not going to live. All those thoughts come through my mind as I go up to the ward, the ICU. I didn't know exactly how to pray. Do I pray, Lord, if it's your will? I didn't believe and I should pray that. That's not a bad prayer, but that was not the prayer that God gave me that day. And Pastor's been speaking the last couple of Sundays about speaking in other tongues. That is a tremendous use, a powerful prayer language. And I urge you to seek the Lord for praying in other tongues. It's prayer language. It's not just for prophecy in a church. That's a rare use of it. It's your private prayer life, and as you're praying for people, and when people come through here this morning, I probably will be praying quietly in other tongues. Because Romans 8 says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings. The word groanings is unutterable words in the human language. So that's what I did up there in that ICU unit up in the hospital in Dayton. I went into the room. He was pretty much unconscious, sedated, dying. And I just leaned down close to his ear and I whispered, I said, "Luther, I'm going to pray in other tongues." And I started praying in other tongues. And I started whispering in my prayer language. And that's perfect because the Spirit is praying according to the will of God for that situation. And as I was praying, I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. But I knew that God was doing something deeper than anything I could think or understand. Well, the man got well, totally well. Think of it, a young father of two kids and his wife, and Luther gets perfectly well. And I talked to him one time afterwards at church. I said, "Luther, do you remember me coming there?" He says, I hardly remember you being there. I said, "Do you remember anything about my prayer?" And Luther said, "Yeah, I couldn't open my eyes, but I heard you whispering in other tongues." And I'll tell you, Pastor, he said, "Such a peace settled over my mind, and fear left me, and I just felt I was in the arms of Almighty God." In a sense, I didn't care whether I live or die. I was in God's hands. But the peace, and that passes understanding. And that's one of the testimonies of healing, one of the miracle healings that I witnessed. About 10 years ago, now you think 10 years, that's a long time, but Carly Burt had a real bad back situation. Now, Carly is the daughter of Fran and Ron Olson. Raise your hands, Fran and Ron. And I asked Fran for an update on this last night. And she said, "Yes, you can share it," and she's okay today. But Carly says, "In August of 2003, I slipped and fell from water that was on the floor in the laboratory at my work, and a chronic, dull, achy pain resulted in that fall." And she describes it. And then she said, "Almost 2.5 years of various treatments, including chiropractors, multiple non-steroidal injections into the fast joints of my back, therapeutic massage, countless hours of physical therapy, acupuncture, neurotomy, basically they were trying to burn the pain nerves in my back." She says, "This was a long road, and I went through all normal emotions, including frustration, anger, 'Why me, Lord?' And if only, and I just remember thinking, now, I know why people with chronic pain in their back commit suicide. It was so painful and enduring, and I couldn't handle it anymore." Well, skip to the rest of the testimony. The doctors said, "We don't have any answers for your back problem." But on January 25th, 2006, Pastor Mark Nordveld, how many remember he was on staff here? Mark Nordveld called me and told me about a conference that was being held up in Everett. And there was a pastor that was visiting from England by the name of David Carr. He spoke on healing and explained how the Lord was using him in the exercise of the gift of healing. Driving home that evening, well, he prayed for her, and she didn't feel anything particular. Driving home that evening from Everett, I wasn't in quite as much pain. I felt God maybe really working in my back. Well, that night, I wasn't in pain laying there. I could not believe it. I just kept waking up, praising the Lord. I didn't have any pain. I was too nervous to move, afraid that I would feel pain again. In the morning, I woke up and moved, and I had no pain. I walked around the house pain-free. It was amazing. And she was weeping and praising God. God had healed me. It's been so freeing to be able to put my shoes on without pain. Now, that happened in 2006. That's 10 years ago. So that's why I called Fran for an update. And Fran, you said she's been free of pain in her back since then. Now, that's divine healing. And there are many testimonies. So that's the idea here of praying and divine healing and so forth. Now, what are we going to do? I want you to be preparing your heart if you are planning to come for the ministry of healing. And here's how we're going to proceed. Pastor Tim is going to come up here now, and worship team, and they're going to lead us in some worship. And then during this time, we can prepare our hearts. And I'm going to ask the deacons and those who have a prayer ministry, deacons and ministers that are here, and you're going to line up in a corridor so that the people will pass by you and you lay your hands on them. Pastor Steve and I will be right up here in the front, and Pastor Steve and I will anoint with oil and pray a very brief prayer, ministry of divine healing through the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. James chapter 5 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. If you need spiritual healing and you've committed sins, you can be healed of your sins. And then I just want to say that the Lord gave me the scripture when the disciples had been beaten and they were released. They went to their own brothers and sisters and they made prayer. Acts chapter 4 says, O God, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's the way it is. Signs and wonders to bring glory to Jesus and God, and his will be done. He wants you to be whole. Forget about all the ifs and muts and maybe. Just in your mind, God wants you to be whole. That's the message. Now, Lord, we commit this time to you. We pray you will bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.